This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
At first, I just thought people couldn't financially justify hiring a clown anymore, you know? Then I started blaming the media for portraying my people as bloodthirsty murderers, cult members, or man-eating space aliens. Of course, the 2016 clown sightings didn't help. Ronald was the first to go. They just took him away. And we stayed silent. Because that's when the book appeared. What new form of clown bigotry was this, I thought? Hadn't my people suffered enough? My clown act was failing because people just weren't taking it seriously. And once they fired me from the circus, I tried suing them for funfair dismissal. My unicycle rusted, and my balls gathered dust. I used to make kids scream with laughter, you know. So much that I could see the tears of joy running down their faces. And then it just stopped. I was so upset that I started eating the banana cream pies instead of throwing them in people's faces. I gained so much weight that summer. I avoided it for a while, but the book's front cover was just so eye-catching and it was so readily available on Amazon that I gave in and finally read the thing. I didn't even know what the Nephilim were. Luckily, the author spent the first half of the book concisely explaining the biblical history to me in an easy-to-understand manner. So that wasn't really a problem for long. That's when I read the rest of the book and realized that being a clown is no joke. Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. Let's do another live Q&A. It's a late night session for me, as you can see. I'm in the dark. I don't have the big light on, as we say in the UK. I'm just using my ring light here. And I think it creates quite a nice effect, doesn't it? I think it looks more dramatic. It definitely brings out the gold of my hair and hides the ginger when I do it this way with the white light. Let's cycle through just to see, shall we? There you go, that's the orange light. I look sickly and deathly pale with that one. And there we go. Something a bit more neutral. Excellent. So how are we all doing, guys? I have just come off a talk with PJ of Real Conspiracies Podcast and Dark Ocean's YouTube channel, formerly Conspiracy Pilled. And I've just been on his Real Conspiracies Podcast talking about the movie Smile. That's right, guys. The guy who wrote the book about the Nephilim look like clowns has finally watched the Smile movie. It's been something you have been continuously suggesting to me since it came out a couple of years ago, And you know what, guys? I'm a busy family man. I'm self-employed. I'm writing books. I'm making videos. I'm waxing lyrical about conspiracies. I just do not have time to watch movies. So PJ gave me a fantastic excuse to justify watching a movie for work purposes. So I did watch it. I had a big page book here full of notes as I went through, and I have just done a 2-hour podcast with him going through the entire thing and breaking down the symbolism I noticed, the links to the spiritual nature of demons, and the hints all throughout the movie, kind of showing the true nature of reality while also pointing out the fictionalized things they put in there. The misdirections, the things that aren't necessarily true, the predictive programming elements, everything has been broken down in classical conspiracy theorist style with PJ there over at Dark Oceans Podcast. So if you don't know already, go and check out his channel. I think I've got it up here. I can share it with the screen with you. Give me one second. Here it is. For my podcast listeners out there, this won't make any sense to you. But here it is. You can go find it. Go and subscribe to him, show him some love, show him some support. Again, he used to do a podcast with Conspiracy Pilled, but he has recently left that endeavor to start his own. And, you know, let's show him all the support we can. It was a fun talk, fantastic researcher, and yeah, I had a great time talking with him about the Smile movie. So that should be coming out in a couple of weeks' time, on a Tuesday, I believe. He will be releasing his own podcast, one of his first episodes, tomorrow as well, as you can see advertised here on the screen. But my version, I did record the whole thing. I think I might release it to Patreon for the next 2 weeks. So anyone who wants to listen to that early, you can, and you obviously pay through my Patreon, you can get access to that and have a sneak peek of what's to come. His version will be edited with pictures and have much better sound quality than mine, probably, and much better production value than mine will. But if you want to see the raw, unedited footage, I will probably be releasing that to my patron soon. So there you go, guys. But in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be talking about the Smile movie. So there you go. Something to look forward to. Yeah. It was, you know, just quickly now, I will say, I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It was okay. Didn't appreciate the cheap jump scares. Doesn't impress me when a movie tries to be scary by utilizing the jump scare tactic. It just makes it cheap. It cheapens the whole experience, and I'm just not impressed. So that's my quick critique there. But yeah, there's lots to talk about with that one. So, you know, I come off of this podcast and I dip into my Telegram group, which, if you guys don't know, I have a 1,600 member Telegram group that's been growing over the past half year. And, you know, I started it as a bit of fun, just a way to connect with people, and it's growing into a solid community of fellowship there. It's really great to have those people to talk about our faith and our experiences and conspiracies with, you know, and really build a solid community where we're all talking with each other. I've had people messaging me saying they have met people in real life thanks to that app, you know, they've made real friends, tangible friends in person thanks to it. So that's wonderful to hear. And I'm really thankful for that. But I came off and the Bible study section has become a cesspool of disagreement and discord over the validity of the Old Testament. And, you know, the whole was Yahweh really the father of Jesus type of stuff is going on in there. And, you know, people need to, in their own walks with Christ and their own journeys to truth, need to, I think, wrestle with those things and go through that journey and that process to try and square it in their minds and understand the nature of God and morality and all that sort of stuff. So I let it happen, but oh God, it does get heated in there, doesn't it? It gets really heated in that thing. And I feel, what can I do? You know, I just let it happen and watch, and I've chastised and put people in time out before and done whatever I can. But I left the management game behind when I quit working at a supermarket as a manager. I'm not interested in managing people's emotions and disagreements. I'm just going to let it play out as it is. But I just want to remind anybody who, you know, is in the group to gain some perspective and just remember that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all just trying to find the truth, okay? And we're all sincerely trying to find answers to questions that we all have. And we're all legitimately trying to get to the bottom of. So let people go through that process and treat people with love and understanding throughout that. Correct them if you will, and obviously offer your own perspectives along the way, but keep it cohesive is all I can really say. Yeah, we are ambassadors for Christ, for the truth, and we have to represent ourselves with long-suffering, patience, love, and understanding. So those on the outside who are trying to come to terms with their own faith, who haven't even got anywhere close to contemplating some of the ideas that go on in that Bible study chat, it's not a good look, is it, when we're all at each other's throats, shall we say. So chill out, guys. Let's relax. Let's do a Q&A. Let's have some fun. Let's just talk for a little bit. Yeah, if you guys didn't know as well, like I said, this is going to be in podcast format as well now. You can get this anywhere you get your podcasts, except for iTunes. They don't want me. It's really difficult to get on there for some reason. They're not accepting my email address, and it's just becoming an endless cycle of failure trying to get on there. A technical nightmare. I'm going to have to figure it out. And anything anyone suggests to me, I guarantee I've tried it. It's a glitch on their end. They're not recognizing my existence at the last hurdle. So I still need to contact customer support on iTunes end. But I can't be bothered. Get it somewhere else. Go to Spotify or something. I don't care. Just get it anywhere else. But yeah, it is in audio format now if you guys are interested. So go check that out. England's email says, love that jacket, Paul. Thank you. It's a shacket. In the spirit of autumn, I'm wearing a shirt jacket, which I mock so much in my my little public service announcement for Halloween advert for the book, which I'm sad I can't play anymore. I can't play that advert anymore. Like, that's one of my finest pieces of work when it comes to advertising.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
And I'm no longer allowed to play it because the season has passed. The time has passed. So now I've got to work on a Christmas advert, which I think I'll try and play for the next like 2 months or month, however long I have it for. And I've got some ideas. It's going to be funny. I think I'm going to make a funny one again, just like the Halloween one. I've got in mind as like a sneak peek idea. I want to try and play it out like one of those old 90s CD commercials. You know, where they used to advertise like a collection of songs sung by a particular artist. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, Neil Diamond singing all the Christmas classics, that type of stuff, you know? And it shows like scenes of like him stood there with the microphone just singing and like the CDs floating in the background. I want to play off that style, but talking about the Nephilim look like clowns as like, you know, I'll make it look like it's one of those 90s adverts, even do it in a square format, like black out the sides, you know? And I think it's like, you know, like bringing you all the favorite biblical questions, such as, was it Ham did what to his father? You know, stuff like this is kind of just funny things throughout when talking about biblical history, the Nephilim, and I'll show all the different things that I talk about in the book in that kind of style. I don't know. It's just an idea I'm kind of working on here. I'll figure something out. I'll figure something out soon. Usually when I make these adverts, I end up making them in like a day. It all just happens. It all just comes together quickly. But I think this is going to take a lot of video editing that I don't fully know how to do yet. But I'm going to learn for this reason. It's going to be fun. Could be a fun one. I'll make lots of Saturnalia references, and I'll be putting down Christmas for its pagan origins, as it truly is, you know, and I'll be talking about all that stuff throughout probably as well, just as a joke. But I'll keep it funny, guys. I'll keep it lighthearted, you know, and I'll keep it fun. So Donut says, question please. What's your thoughts on Native Indians and the Millennial Kingdom? I have seen anything from native lore about the massive amounts of buildings being left around the states. I haven't seen anything from native lore about the massive amounts of buildings being left around the state. Well, if it comes to rewriting all of human history, it's very possible that the natives were massively displaced. You know, and let's say at the end of the little season is when all the genocides began, the colonization, as it's known throughout history, began, the rewriting of all history. It's possible that even the natives might not fully remember their true past anymore. I mean, even they may have been lied to about things, but I know they have this oral tradition that's supposedly passed down through thousands of years. So who knows? Who really knows? I've heard theories to say that some of the Floridian native tribes practically speak Hebrew. The language is identical. And is it possible they were one of the true 12 tribes of Israel originally, and the Holy Land was all set and, you know, in America originally, and geography is just completely debased. Like, the biblical events did not happen where they say they did. Though I would also say that could be complete nonsense too, because there's a lot of evidence to say what happened in the Middle East biblically does square with archaeological finds as well. But it's possible they could have invented all of those. I don't know. I don't have answers for that. It can get in the realm of pure speculation here, and just thinking out loud is all I can really do. One concept I've been mulling about, which I have no evidence for whatsoever yet and haven't really started to scratch under the surface for, it's a thought more than anything. It's not formed. But I would say there's this idea that if we take the concept of the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years has ended. So, who are the rest of the dead? Well, it's anybody who's lived without knowing Christ, I would assume. Everyone who lived before tribulation, and those who didn't have their light bodies, who weren't resurrected in the first resurrection. Anybody else who wasn't resurrected for the first resurrection to live 1,000 years as saints with Christ, ruling in his kingdom. Whether that's from heaven or on earth or whatever, I don't know. Ignore that point, okay? But if the rest of the dead is everybody else, that includes all the pagan tribes that were all over the land throughout the millennia. All of them, you know. And who knows if maybe in the little season, many of these old pagan native tribes literally just appeared again and carried on as though 1,000 years hadn't passed, as though no time had passed at all. You know, and they reestablished themselves and carried on as though the Nephilim were still around, and let's keep worshipping them with our symbols and our rituals and our folk traditions. It's kind of like the old gods are back. They never left, you know. Maybe that kind of happened. If it was really more of a, I don't know what kind of rules you would define it as. It's more of a, bam, we're back in our full forms again. They don't have to be born and grow up again. It's like they blinked and suddenly they're just alive and on earth, you know, fully manifested randomly as fully grown adults with all their old memories. Maybe that's what happened. And the reemergence of these native tribes, as we call them today, all over the earth, not even just in America, you know, everywhere has natives, you know, and these ancient folk traditions, which I study for my book, but the Nephilim look like clowns. It's almost like they're stuck in a time capsule. It's like they're still living the life they lived when the Nephilim were around as gods. But because they're not there anymore, all they have are the costumes to represent them, you know, but it's kind of, so it seems out of place. So maybe it is more of a, they were just resurrected for the little season and picked up where they left off, and entire histories are being rewritten based on their existence, you know, and it's kind of just to fit them into the narrative somewhere, perhaps. But again, I just said that is not a fully forged thought at all. That is not fleshed out, not a fleshed out concept. That is not something to pin your anything on. Like, no, do not take what I just said as gospel truth for anything. Like, I do not know. But I did hear that there is an Indian myth that they came from underground. They lived underground with their gods, and they emerged onto the earth from the underground. I think I remember the gods being described like insectoid beings, the ant men or something like that. So is it possible they their tribes are those who worked with the Nephilim, or something like that, or some kind of odd creature. And when the Millennial Kingdom was established, they receded underground. And for those 1,000 years, they basically lived underground as like servants for these ant people. And then when the Millennial Kingdom ended, they came back out of the ground and reestablished their tribes on the surface of the earth again. But they were primitive in comparison to the everything that was left behind, these temples and the 1,000-year kingdom people. I've heard that before. I don't know the details of that. That's something I'm going to have to look into and find out where that story came from. But I do remember hearing that story from somebody. So there you go. There's just some thoughts off the top of my head right now on that concept. But I don't have much to offer, really. But, you know, Native American folklore is very interesting. A lot of talks about the Thunderbirds, ravens and gods, primordial weather gods and storm gods and things like this, all communicating with each other and having like a repartee with humanity in a way, and a back and forth and a duel of morality. And it's a blend of like hybrid creatures interacting with humans in many forms, transforming gods of weather and rain who can take the form of eagles and humans simultaneously, and like stealing women and lying to them. And it's kind of it's a odd mythology, very odd and unique compared to a lot of other earthly mythologies. But when you contextualize it with the Enoch and the mixing of kinds, and obviously the Nephilim and the fallen angels coming from heaven and mating with human women, you'll find the parallels are there. It's just their own culturally specific style of telling those stories is quite unique. It's quite interesting. I'll say that. It's scripture meaning it's correct, says, I don't know what that's about. The Hopi tribe and the ant people, says Nick Matthews. Okay, thanks for letting me know the specifics. I'll have to look into that now. Now I know it's the Hopi tribe. Yeah, but it's odd. We can only speculate. We really can. And I would not like to say with any authority that I can answer that question. Maybe we should start asking them where they think they came from and what the stories are more specifically, and which I'm sure people have done, and we can probably find that work. It's a big task to take on, to research an entire culture's history, though. You know, it's not something you can just do overnight. Trust me, I know, I've tried. Like, you've got to put time into it. Because when you talk about somebody's culture like that, like the Hopi, let's say, you know, you have to do it right. Because these are real people who live it, you know, and if you just don't say the facts as they understand it, while also...
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Offering your interpretation on top of that. They'll think you're purposely trying to misrepresent them, or you're just ignorant or stupid, and you can really offend people, and you can discredit discredit yourself when you do that, you know. So I've tried my best whenever I've talked about these cultures to honestly tell what they say, what they believe that is going on, you know, and not, you know, I give all the details as they understand it, that are available to us, academically speaking, and from the horse's mouth, you know. And that's what I've tried to do with all my work. And I still get people telling me, you completely don't understand our culture and you've misrepresented us. So I'm like, what can I do? I literally, all my sources are from like every academic understood source and researcher and anthropologist out there. You know what I mean? It's kind of, this is the understood nature of your belief systems. It's kind of like, well, that's not what I believe. It's like, oh, well, you're just unique and different to all your tribe then, I guess, whatever. It's kind of like no one wants to be pigeonholed, I suppose. No one wants to have their culture told back to them by somebody who's not a part of it. This just seems to be people's knee-jerk reaction to that kind of thing. But trust me, I am not out there today trying to like disparage people's ancient beliefs and pride in their cultures necessarily. I'm trying to do them justice as much as I can do. But fundamentally, I also disagree with their perspective on those events. Because I, you know, I see it from a biblical angle. So I can't believe what they say just because they believe it. Like, I don't believe it. I think it can be interpreted a different way. So, and that's the nature of having different opinions, right? And different beliefs and cultures. But it's like they are offended that somebody would look at their culture and analyze it from a different perspective. It's kind of, it offends them to pull at that thread, shall we say. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to, I don't know, I'm repeating myself, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Looks more like a jirt to me. It is a jirt. Yeah, I guess it is. A shacket. A jirt. I don't know. It's warm, I'll tell you that much. I might have to take it off in a minute. Are you going to do another show with Noel Joshua Hadley, says Cal? Probably. Yeah, Noel. I like Noel. I know the guy. We talk every now and then. I'm a member of his Discord, but I don't really participate. I enjoyed our talk when I was on his channel and he was on mine and he shared all of his perspectives. I'm not like a Torah observant like he is, you know, to the point of the sacred name stuff as much as he's into that kind of thing. But he raises a lot of great points. His research is second to none when it comes to the Millennial Kingdom evidence. He really goes into all the extra books and all the surrounding texts and finds as much as he can to corroborate this idea that we are past the millennial reign, and his work is great. I've been called a shill for even communicating with him by the King James only crew, you know, and it's kind of, this is the problem with Noel. It's like you communicate with him, you got to be ready for a week's worth of attacks, which is odd. It's very odd when that happens. But, you know, that's just the nature of being in the conspiracy game, isn't it? But yeah, no, I'll probably talk with Noel again. Yeah, probably. I don't know when, but yeah, maybe. I'm looking forward to the commercial, says Sammy. Yeah, me too. I don't know what it's going to be like. I don't know, honestly. I'm going to have some fun slapping it all together. I can tell you that now. I got my shacket at Costco for $14.99. Yeah, I think this... I don't know where I got this from. Where did I get this from? I can't even see. I have no idea. It's a good quality one, though. I don't know. I didn't cheap out on this. Is it... It's Hollister. It's a Hollister jacket, yeah. I've got to that point in my life now, and I'm sure you'll understand this. It's kind of, I used to just buy cheap, you know, and wear them to death and constantly buy cheap and let them just destroy, clothes get destroyed quickly. And I've got to that point in my life now where I'm investing money into clothes that last longer, and I'm finding that is working out better for my wallet, and it's more comfortable and it's warmer and it's actually worth putting the money into higher quality clothes rather than always buying cheap. I'm finding out that but the sad thing is it's not easy to get to a point in life where you can afford to do that. But in the long run, it does save you money. It's kind of a catch 22. But to get to the point where you can save money on clothes by spending more on clothes, you've got to earn more money first. So it's kind of I've been alive for 32 years now. So I'm getting to that age where I'm earning more money, you know? But when you're young, it's hard, isn't it? So it's that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm buying slightly better. I'm not saying great quality. I'm not getting designer stuff. I can't afford that crap. And I wouldn't even bother anyway. I'm just not into fashion or anything, or I don't care. But, you know, just a bit more than like $10 for like a jacket. I'll fork out, let's say, 80 for a jacket instead. Something like that, you know, and it'll last me maybe a couple of years rather than like 5 months. Are you going to do another show? No. Did you add Nephilim from the Twilight Saga series? The image of a giant Nephilim monster eating a human being in your book. Oh, yeah. Oh, somebody has sent me that picture of that. I'll get it up on screen now. I do have it saved somewhere because it is a great Twilight monster. What's it called? Can you remember the name of it? It's a really long name, isn't it? Sorry. Twilight monster in book. What do you call it? Twilight vampire monster. Mythology. The Cold Ones. That's it. The Cold Ones. This thing. Vampire Legends. I'll share the screen with you guys now so you can see what I'm talking about. So this is it. This is what the vampires of Twilight were based on, or so they say, but whatever. Who cares what they tell us? This is basically what they look like. And it's very Nephilim clownish, isn't it? Very Nephilim clownish. Can you see that on screen there, guys? I think you can. There we go. So yeah, they got all the colours all over the skin, the patterns, a big wide maw, the giants, pale-skinned, eating humans with the half-serpent, half-human. It's all there, isn't it? And these are known as the Callers, or the Apotamkin. The Apotamkin. That's right, and it's from a... Well, it doesn't tell me there, but it's from a specific Native American tribe's mythos. So that will be mentioned, yes, in the book I am currently writing now. I'm actually doing America right now and all the folk traditions, and yes, this is on my list of beasts to bring up from mythology to explain this theory and back it up with images as well. No images in this volume, maybe in a future volume when I do a special edition with pictures version once I can afford to put pictures in the book. But yeah, this is a great find, and thanks for sharing that one with me. It must have been you who sent it me in an email, I'm guessing. But absolutely, yeah, the Apotamkin. Terrifying looking thing. Absolutely terrifying. As is the nature of the work I do, unfortunately. What's your opinion on the Rapture Frenzy? And wasn't there a clown clothes fashion show in a church, says Jeremy Bailey? Yeah, well, the Rapture Frenzy is just a load of nonsense. Stop hoping on something like that. If we're living past the Millennial Kingdom, there's no rapture. It's not coming. And it would have already, the taking away would have already happened in the time of the apostles, and the time of the first beheaded saints being resurrected. All that would have already happened. If that was post or pre-trib, doesn't matter. You're past the tribulation, you're past the Millennial Kingdom, so it's irrelevant in that context. And I would say you shouldn't live your life based on whether or not you get to be taken away from tribulation or not. We all have to suffer and die in this life. You do not get a free pass, okay? And it's kind of like, well, where's the blessed hope then? I don't know. The new heavens and earth that come after all of this? You maybe keep your eye on eternity rather than a temporary state of affairs where you don't have to deal with pain and misery while everyone else burns below you and you get to, what, sip mojitos on a cloud while watching other people suffer? Is that what you're aiming for? It's kind of, what an odd thing to crave. And it's kind of like, what makes you think you're so special and above Christ that you don't get to suffer like he did anyway? I don't know. I've never understood it. Maybe it's a British thing, or maybe it's not being raised in the church thing, but I've never held my faith onto a rapture or understood why it's important. And even then, isn't it like created in the 1800s by, like, I don't know. It's not a new idea, really. Well, it's not an old idea. And the religion thing that's been fueled and the hype behind it doesn't feel organic to me. It feels like it's been forced. So there's my opinion on the Rapture Frenzy. And was there a clown clothes fashion show in a church? Yes, I believe so. I remember seeing videos of that on TikTok and people sending me stuff. But they've been pushing clown fashion, clown core.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast.
to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Bold. Since the beginning of 2023, through all the catwalks throughout Europe. So it's coming to an outlet store near you. I'll say that now. They're trying to dress us like clowns to get us possessed by demons, guys. I'm telling you. Do you think Nephilim giants were bombed by ancient nuclear weapons because they were turned into glass? Well, I think there was the Indian story of the War of the Gods. There was the Clash of the Titans in Greece, you know, where Zeus was throwing down his thunderbolts from Mount Olympus. You know, it's kind of, there are these ideas of the gods had mighty weapons beyond our comprehension, which caused utter devastation wherever they were used. So yeah, it seems that's something like that. Now, nuclear, that's a very modern concept and idea. I don't think they were dealing with nuclear weapons, but powerful weaponry of a godly nature. Yes, something like that. Who knows, though? Who truly knows? I mean, you look at these things they call cannons, you know, which are found all over America, let's say. These giant cylinders with ornate patterns all over the sides. It's kind of like, no, that does not fire a metal ball, that thing. But when you look at it from a frequency weapon angle, now we're talking, you know, I think maybe there's something there. So maybe they had, like said, weapons that manipulated the fabric of reality rather than brute force explosions. I think it was something else, you know. But yeah, I think a lot of the giants, when they had the wars with each other, who knows what technology they had during that time. No, they weren't considered gods for nothing. I'm going to try and catch up with the chat, guys, quicker. Just so I don't miss anything new coming in. Mathis Chronicles, I know you are from UK, but do you think debt forgiveness under Trump is a pipe dream or realistic? Who cares? Who cares about politics and the money and the things of this world? Rend unto Caesar what's his. I don't care. I don't care what puppet they put in positions of leadership at any given time. All the promises they've made to us. It's irrelevant in the long run. Like, it doesn't make any difference. It's all sand through the fingers, you know, and it's all part of the same bird, isn't it? Like, whatever wing you choose, like, they're all selected, not elected. It's basic stuff. Why do you think it's changed now? What's changed now? The guy that's been selected is a bit funnier, makes good meme, like, fuel and meme fodder. I don't know, guys. Look, I did the whole get invested in the election thing years ago, you know, got sucked into all that many times throughout my life, and nowadays I don't bother. I don't care. I'm over it. It's the agenda's going to keep trucking along as they planned. It's the little season. Things are going to happen whether we like it or not. You know, it's not up to us to change the course of history. You can't change prophecy. You can't change the inevitability. All we can do is help people be saved. That's all we can do. That's our great commission, right? Spread the gospel, spread the truth, and try and save people's souls. And even then, it's not us who's saving souls, it's Jesus. We're just pointing people to the source of being saved. That's all we can do. Like, that's what matters, you know. And I found you get involved with politics and you talk about it and you just end up tearing your family apart. It's not worth it. No good fruit comes from getting involved in that game. On any level, whether your career is involved in politics or simply talking about it, nothing good comes from it. Nothing good ever arises. Nothing fruitful, nothing positive. And it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm going to put my fingers in my ear, la, 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 I don't care. I understand the nature of politics and how it affects change on many levels, and they don't control everything, you know. We have the power still to make change in this world, you know. It's like, maybe I'm jaded, I don't know. But the same, I can't, every time I've played the game, I end up feeling dirty at the end of it. I feel used. I end up feeling like a fool. And that's it, isn't it? You know, men making promises. Promises they can't keep. I'm over it. Okay, whatever. That's all I'm saying. That's my opinion on it all. I'm just past it. Everyone thought 2016 Trump was going to be their savior, and it was four pretty uneventful years of nothing, the status quo, you know, and then the pendulum swings to the other side, and each side blames the other for the past 4 years every time, and it's just the same. It's an endless cycle, you know. It's a show. It's Masonic theater, guys. Black versus white. It's red versus blue. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're definitely, yeah, well, you know, there's a lot to be said about the research of what's really going on and what the point of the controlled narrative we're seeing play out before us is, and what characters, what roles each character like Trump are playing in this forwarding of the agenda. And it's not something I've talked about much on this channel. Maybe it's a bit too hot right now to be touching through risk of losing everything. You know what it's like with the censorship and the algorithm. This is something I'll probably talk about when the dust has settled and it's like no one cares anymore. That's when I will give my two cents as like, okay, so let's review the past 3 months, shall we? And let's figure out what's going on here now. That's how I like to tackle these things. I don't come in hot and heavy when it's all happening. I know that's good for subscribers and views, but I don't really care about that. I care about integrity and doing what I do and, you know, giving the best take I possibly can with as much information as I have to hand. And I feel like when you start saying stuff now, you're going to miss the boat on a lot of things, and the video doesn't age well, shall we say. I'm in the game of making evergreen content. I want a video that you can click at any time in history and it'll be relevant. And you can apply it to whatever's going on in your own time or as a retrospective piece to examine that part of history. That's how I like my content to function. So that's just me. That's just me, though. You know, I know everyone does it differently. It's a selection, not an election, says Lisa. Yep. The good fight is its own reward. Bar your amazing channel, can you recommend any other good channels to listen to? Also, please don't stop doing what you're doing, as you're one of the best on YouTube, says Hughes. I don't know about the best, but thank you. I appreciate those kind words. Other channels, I mean, I've got to give a shout out to, you know, JC. JT follows JC Joe and Vitaly of Alpha Talks. We have a group chat on Instagram now called Bible Study, and we're always sharing a lot of great things on there with each other. And I feel like I've gained a lot of great fellowship with those two, and they've been on my channel, I've been on theirs. We've shared a lot of takes, and we don't differ. We differ in some of our opinions and takes, but we've created a nice little back and forth. I like it. So go check out their channel if you haven't already. I mean, let me have a look at my subscriber, who I'm subscribed to, because I forget, there's so many I forget, you know. I got to give a shout out to the Cult of Connor, I don't know if he's listening or not, but yeah, he's a very small channel, he's only got about 500 subscribers, but I really like the guy, I like his attitude, I think he's a great up-and-comer, I think we should give him more of a chance. He's a lot braver than me on many topics, he's brash, he's bold, he's new to the game, and he's not afraid to bite, you know, so I enjoy listening to him. So go check out the Cult of Con. Another small channel I think is got potential, and he's definitely growing up in the ranks, is the Father Jesus and the Holy Spirit Clan with Dan. I like listening to some of his videos. I think he's got a nice style. I'll show you the screen here. This is it. Let me just zoom out. You guys are seeing like a zoomed in version here. But this is it. This is a good one. He talks about the little season and stuff. I just like his style. I don't really base people. I'm not interested in views, you know, or subscriber counts, or even necessarily the quality of video. Although he does put together a nice slideshow. I like people. And I vibe well with this guy. I think Dan's a great guy. Obviously, Conspiracy R Us, gotta give a shout out to him. He's helped me a lot with keeping the Nephilim Clown theory alive when I wasn't available to make those videos. There's a thumbnail showing one of those cannons I was mentioning here, and he does a lot of great old world stuff. I think he's a Christian, I'm not sure, but he definitely was a big player in releasing the Millennial Kingdom theory to everybody. I think if you go to his videos and see his most popular, the Nephilim look like clowns up there. Yeah. And he's done a lot of stuff. He's done a lot of stuff about the old world and maps and things like that, and the Millennial Kingdom of Christ as well. He mentioned it. Here it is. This was one of the first videos I saw, really, that introduced me to concept. Not one of them. There was also a lot of other people. Channels aren't really around anymore as well, to be honest. Like, what's her name now? It's been so long, I'm forgetting her name now, and I use her videos all the time. Is it Exploring Tartaria? I think that was it. She's not around anymore. Check out Stellium 7. I had him on the channel recently. Nice guy. Well learned, well read, down to earth. Great presentation style. Not too outlandish. Has some fantastic work on biogeology. So here's my talk with him. He re-uploaded on the channel there. But he gave a fantastic presentation showing the animals in the rock formations all over the earth, the giants everywhere, and the hearts in stone, and what stone truly is, how it actually is the flesh of giants. And he's done some great work on it. So go check out his work, Stellium 7, if you haven't heard of him. Again, Noel Hadley's okay. He's got a lot of stuff on there that goes into a lot of extra text surrounding the Millennial Kingdom. Texts you probably wouldn't have heard of or read yourself, but he does great presentations, kind of summating them all. Again, he has his own beliefs. You might not necessarily believe them, but, you know, take the meat, spit out the chaff type of thing, you know. John Levi's a classic, isn't he? You know, he's been talking about these things for a long time. And he doesn't align with the biblical perspective, certainly not. He's not a believer in Christ, but you can't knock him on his quality of work and presentations and the things he's brought to the game. Shelley from There's No Place Like Home. I know people have fallen out with her because she's kind of abandoned the view we currently hold that the Millennial Kingdom was a physical thing. I think she leans more towards it being spiritual. And she also thinks we're now even past the little season and this is the new heavens and earth, from what I believe. I'm thinking I might get her on the channel to better explain how she got to that conclusion. You know, because I'm not knocking her. Maybe she's right, guys. Who knows? Like... but I definitely would be interested to hear her side of all of that and let her share that perspective on my channel, sure. So I might reach out to her soon and see if she wants to come on. Obviously, Real Conspiracies, PJ, he's starting up after leaving Conspiracy Pill Podcast, which was quite a big podcast, by the way. He's now going off on his own, so go and support PJ here with his own. And this is just his side project, Real Conspiracies. But he does do... it's called Dark Oceans here. This is the bigger channel. This is his main source of content. And he does a lot of great stuff, a lot of breakdowns of media. So go check out him. Who else have I got on my side here? I don't know, guys. True Stream Media are always good. They've been in the game for a long time. They always make some pretty great little presentations. Really thought-provoking, very retrospective stuff, high-quality production. Definitely check out there. They've been doing a lot of films recently. They do some high-quality work, so go and check those guys out. They've been in the game for years. Who else have I got? Mind Unveiled. You know, got a... people said I should check out his latest video, this one. Got all the masks going on there, haven't they? You'll have to check that one out. Who else have we got? Vicky Joy Anderson now has a channel. I've had her on the channel a few times talking about spiritual warfare. She's an author. So you can go check out her book. They come out at night. Really good. Really good book. Really, really well-learned woman on spiritual concepts and spiritual warfare. And she's now got into the YouTube game. So go check out Vicky Joy if you haven't already. But other than that, guys, you know, I do subscribe to non-conspiracy channels as well, which kind of clogging up my feed at the side. Just to touch grass every now and then and to think of topics I like. Tala from The Kingdom Within, nice guy, nice community he's got going on there in his own Discord. Talks about these things quite a lot. The Millennial Kingdom has been talking about them for a while, so check out his work. Who else have I got down here? I'm trying to think. Scrolling down, I've got a lot. I don't know, guys. I can go on forever doing this, but yeah, you know, check out JT. Check out Alpha Talks. They're making some great content recently. But I've got like a backlog of channels here that I don't listen to anymore, but I used to. Enter the Stars, Casey from Enter the Stars. You know, check out his work. Another old school player. But I listen to all sorts. I've got Bible Scribe. My Lunch Breaks on here. I listen to Meat Canyon for his dark cartoons for a bit of comedy. I've got a Keep a Touch on Jason A. He's still in the game making fear porn in the conspiracy world. The podcast of the Lotus Eaters gives me a bit of a insight into British right-wing views on politics, I suppose, is a good way of putting it, or conservative British views. I'm not saying I align with their politics, but they definitely, the thumbnails they put up give me that quick glance as to what the pulse of reality, you know what I mean, how normies see the world. We've got Jay Dreamers. Go check out his work. He's got the Plasma Apocalypse Theory, which is quite interesting. I always keep a pulse on Richard the Barber, of course. Gotta see what he's pumping out every now and then. I gotta say, this short feed does not give me a good impression with these thumbnails. What's with that mouth? To whom do you stick out your tongue? That's all I can say. But whatever. I don't know, I got the Quartering, you know. I keep my finger on the pulse, you know, and I'm also looking into the Archaics, for example, you know, and we got Martin over here and Autodidactic. You know, I'm pretty connected to most people. And I don't want to start like saying recommended everybody, because again, this list goes on forever. It really does go on forever. I didn't realize I'm subscribed to so many people. Let's just show less, shall we? And I'll quickly switch back to the webcam. There we go. So there's some recommendations for you quickly, but you know, I don't. Not everybody's to everyone's taste, and even I don't watch every video by every one of these people. You know, who's got time for that? But I try to eclectically subscribe to a lot of people in a lot of different cultures and views and points, just to try and see those, keep me grounded, you know, that's all I can say, and see the alternative opinions on topics I talk about too. Cult of Con's in the house. I hope you saw the recommendation there, Connor. I did recommend your channel too. John Lever has changed his tune recently. I don't align with his new view. I don't know, Darcy, what his new view is necessarily. Again, I don't watch every video by these people. But I like following and subscribing to small channels. Because I find those are the ones who are really, really passionate and they haven't like given up. like us old timers. And they haven't got all apathetic and like, oh, this again. You know, to them, it's all fresh and new. And they're like, look at this thing over here. Look what they're doing over there now. Do you see? It's like I miss having that crazed passion about all the symbols around us. But those are the channels that keep me up to date with the recent symbols all around. So it's kind of, you go, and I kind of appreciate those people for that reason. And they want it more. They want it more, you know, and I like that. I like that, seeing that fire, I suppose. So yeah, I do like subscribing to smaller channels. I guess that keeps me out of the loop a little bit, but it's just the way I do it. Steve Quayle, also Timothy Alberino. I don't know what that's about. I like Paul's take on politics, says Darcy. Oh, good. Whatever that I don't have a take and you like that. I guess is what you're saying. Unexpected Cosmology is one of my favorite channels, says Laura. Yeah, Noel's a nice guy. JT and Alpha. MAGA means witch. Let's see that Trumpster does about the USA's greatest issue being the number one importer of children for the most evil of things. Okay, well, that's exactly that. You know, this is why I don't trust any of these leaders that they put in front of us to solve the world's real problems. You know, they're not really pointing to the real issues, are they? They generate issues that we're supposed to care about and then solve the problems that they cause to begin with. That generally tends to be how politicians work. And let's not forget about Con's channel. Yeah, I gave him a shout out, the Cult of Con. Go to his channel, guys. You give the best compliments, Skull Con. Thanks, I guess. You too, Snap. I have more questions to this term as a lot changed, not at least in regards to who comes along with him. The economy model sounds sketchy. Yeah, well, I think I heard Casey's take today on Trump, and he was saying we knew Trump was going to win the next election. We've been saying this for 4 years, and we stayed strong throughout every single thing that happened to him, that he is going to be the next president. Not because he supports Trump, but because he saw the agenda, is what he's saying. And he's saying, look, what Trump has basically done is what, this is his theory, this is Casey's theory, is he's managed to get all the Christian conservatives to think things like digital passports and IDs and microchips and all the agenda and the electronical society, complete controlled society through electrical means, is a good thing. Like, and he's rebranded it as like a Trump freedom thing rather than an oppressive liberalism thing. So he's kind of, all he's done is kind of put his stamp of approval on everything the agenda wants to put forward anyway, and got people to follow him into approving of things which these people otherwise would not have approved of, to build that electronical, full controlled dictatorship society. That's a bit dark, it's a dark take, but it is, whether it was, you know, wing one or wing two that got into the office, the same agenda would have gone forward, just from the other side's perspective and angle and reasonings. It doesn't matter, but it's kind of, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. The synthesis was always predetermined, and they'll use whoever they need to sell it to get there at whatever time, whatever the people are calling for. I guess that's kind of what Casey was saying. And I tend to agree with that take, to be honest. Sorry guys, need to check the chat here. Shameless plug, I'll be live in 2 hours, 6 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, Paul, for the shout out. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, so there you go, guys. In 2 hours time, you can go and check out Cult of Con's live show. He did a Halloween special, which was hilarious. Go and check it out. Too much physical evidence for me to believe it's all spiritual, and what happens down here, I hear happens up there. Things are connected. Yeah. I mean, who says it's all spiritual? It's spirituality and physicality are one and the same thing. Physical things happening are reflections of what's going on in the spiritual world. Is how the best way to describe it. They're not. It's not like we have our life here and the spirit world's doing their thing over there, and we're completely unaware of each other. They're both happening simultaneously in the same place. We have just made a separation distinction through our perceptions, but there is no separation in reality. That's it. That's the truth of spirituality. I understand and appreciate your answer, sir, says Mathis Chronicles. Oh, good. I can't remember what question you even asked, but yeah, I'm glad my answer was coherent, because sometimes it's not. And I know it's not, but I'm glad it was this time. Vicky Joy Anderson is doing a series on fasting that I quite find interesting, says Linda. And I'll go check that out. I know she has a quite an interesting fasting story she shared with me in my last talk. And she went hardcore with the fast that time and the parasites that she had to deal with. Love Meat Canyon. Sargon is awesome. Hope you guys are doing well. I saw that freak last night, and sorry, but dude cannot play the guitar, says PJ. I don't know who we're talking. Are you talking about, is that about Richie? Is that you talking about Richie the barber there? I don't know. Such a lost soul. Oh, I don't know the guy. I don't know the guy personally. Have you noticed how, okay, you've asked that question before, Pearl. I don't think I'm going to get into that right now. Eridin makes great biblical content as well. So I am subscribed to Eridin as well. Yeah. He's great at summarizing basic Christian law. Yeah, I'd say so. It's crazy how so many people are brainwashed thinking the right and left is real and all that. Both sides are created by the secret societies on the top. Yeah, yes, and it seems that way, doesn't it? But I know a lot of people could argue that that's not necessarily always the case. There must be some room for error on the controller's behalf. People might get through sometimes that aren't necessarily on their side, or people have changes of heart who were insiders that became outsiders and excommunicated from the cult and probably get killed and assassinated. I think it's a black and white, because when you deal with people, it gets messy. People are complicated, and we're not as black. People aren't black and white, you know? So I think it's a bit of everything, really. We shouldn't have complete hopelessness, you know? God's in control at the end of the day, and he can just take the reins at any moment from Satan in this little season. Who's to say he, you know, doesn't have the power to do what he wants in that case, and if he wants to hold Satan's hand back, you know, and stave off the onslaught, God has the authority to do that any moment. If there was a revival and everyone suddenly devoted themselves more so to him and his people, and the body of Christ was to get bigger and bolder, who's to say he wouldn't give us more grace and time in this little season to prosper? Who knows? Who knows? Honestly, again, that's not me saying that's gospel truth or anything, but it's possible. I'm open to that idea that some players on the world stage may be good and maybe on. There by God and on God's side. But I am inclined not to believe that. Let's put it that way. He has started saying that MK buildings are built by authoritarian, greedy, pompous people. I do like his work in general. Says, oh yeah, talk about John Levi's new take. I remember watching the video. I do remember seeing that, and he was like saying the Millennial Kingdom buildings are grandiose, kind of soulless, cold, too perfect, lack like humanity and like. But what I feel like his description of these beautiful cathedrals, it sounds like he's talking about like Soviet Russian utilitarian cubes, and he's wrong. Like, I'm sorry, John Levi, but those buildings are the epitome of fine art and objective beauty. And your take, I don't understand it, really. I don't understand how you got there. Because they're large and empty and cavernous in some places, that makes them cold and dejective humanity and therefore bad. I struggle to understand that interpretation. I don't think they were created by oppressive figures of an oppressive society who wanted to dominate and lord over lesser people or something like that. I think they were created during a time where people that were inspired and had the time to make beautiful artwork. And yes, they're not utilitarian. They aren't built the purpose of housing lots of people or convenience. They were built because they could, because they stand for as monuments to artistic ability of humanity, to the glory of God in most cases. And I know people say, well, what about the gargoyles? What about the demons on them? What about the ancient pagan gods? It's like, that's human history. That is still history, you know. And humanity documents their history through artwork. I don't think those things being created inherently means building bad. Like, or cannot be part of Christ's kingdom or something like that. It's like, if God created the angels, even the fallen angels, you know, like he created them. And if mankind makes artwork about them, that's not bad inherently. We are made in the image of God. We are too our creators. You know, we are painters and drawers and sculptors. We that's what we do. You know, we have that eye to make things. And I think the buildings are a testimony to the capabilities of man when he has the ability and time and freedom to do such things. We don't do that now because we don't have the ability, time, or resources to do those things. And that's why we look at those buildings in awe when we see them right next to the glass monstrosity that was built next to them, you know, and we look at the other thing and think, is that the best we do? Is that the best we can do? And we look at it and think, some people think, genuinely look at like the glass next to the cathedral and think, progress. I don't see progress, personally. So there's my take on John Levi's new take. Take it for what it's worth, if anything. You should do a show with Casey from Enter the Stars. I've been mentioning the little season on his channel. Boy, oh boy, he's adamant about it not happening yet. Yeah, look, you know, not everybody is in the body of Christ open to the idea that the millennial kingdom has already passed. It's a tough pill to swallow for many. I get it. Investments have been made into the pre or post-trib rapture theology or the futurist doctrine of the mark of the beast still yet to come and all these type of things. And a lot of people have built careers around preaching the gospel of the kingdom is about to come upon us, the millennial reign, and the rapture is about to come. And it's not easy to go back on such things when you've built your temple on it. So I get it, you know, and each in their own time, when, as and when it's convenient for them, I suppose. Like, I don't know. But I'm not going to fall out with anybody just because they don't believe what I believe. I still think the sincere love for Christ is real. So it's all that counts, really, isn't it? Tony Wanderer. I don't agree with most of your channel understanding conspiracy, but sometimes you say things that I have to really think deep about. So I check in from time to time. Well, Tony, that's great. I'm glad you keep coming back. Thank you. You know, it's, some people never come back, and I get it. Fair enough. I wouldn't want to listen to me all the time either, to be honest. My lunch break and John Levi mind unveiled. All great, says Tony Wanderer. You know, I appreciate those guys' work. I'm subscribed to all of them, you know, as I showed earlier. And yeah, you know, I get it. I just fundamentally agree with the foundation, because I come from the biblical Christian perspective, and they don't really come from that angle. And that's fine. You know, I still love them, still people, still, you know, human, and so am I, and all of our blood runs red, you know, we're all of the same kind. And I don't have a bad thing to say about any of them. But, you know, I just disagree with the foundation for their theories. That's all. All you got to do is believe Jesus' words literally, says, ain't buying it. Yeah. That's what smacked me in the face. Mind Unveiled is a good one for sure. Maybe I'll get them on the channel one day to share their work with me. I know he's released his book on the Cabbage Patch Babies as well. So maybe that might be quite fun to talk about. Absolutely. Ceiling Fan Man talks about the season 2. I've not watched many of his videos. I have heard of him before, though. Everyone comes to an understanding at different times. Absolutely. So, guys, maybe I can answer maybe one or two more questions. I'm going to call it a night. Keep this short. It is 20 past midnight for me, so I can't keep going forever, you know. But I thought I'd just check in after doing, because I've already done 2 hours before this on PJ's podcast. Perhaps you can hear my voice is getting a little bit raspy. Let me just have a quick drink of water. But get some questions in, guys, if you want to know, or you want to hear my take on anything, or you want to talk about anything at all, let me know, and I'll do what I can. Wendy says Leaving Babylon is a top for me. I am getting Madeline of Leaving Babylon on this channel. Let me check my calendar. We are scheduled to have our little season discussion on the 20. No. Oh, bugger, I don't think I put it on my calendar. Let me just check my emails. I need to put that on my calendar. I cannot afford to miss that one. Let me find it. I've got it here. I've got the email here. We have arranged for December the 8th. December 8th, I'll be talking with Madeline from Leaving Babylon, and she's going to share all of her fantastic work on Little Caesar evidence, the documents, the histories that we know of that prove that it seems like we are in the Little Caesar of Satan and the Millennial Kingdom did happen. And even her, just her speculations and so forth, you know what I mean? So there we go. Bushwhacking history in Buffalo. Mind Unveiled is a good one. Huh? Oh, what an idiot for saying such a thing. I meant he's a good human being. He's not evil intent. You know, he might not agree with us on religious beliefs and things like that, but he's not inherently evil because of those beliefs, all right? That's all I'm saying, so don't, like, take that out of context and go off and make some random video now calling me a shill like most people tend to do when I be nice to other people they don't agree with. Obviously understanding conspiracy is the first place. I don't know why you guys, I don't know. I don't know what it is. So now the new technology we have is simply a counterfeit Satan attempt to mimic what God offered in the Millennial Kingdom, says SP. Yes, something like that, it seems. It's like an attempt to reestablish what Christ built, but for his own purposes. I think he's back-engineered a lot of the stuff from the Millennial Kingdom for this world as well. Reverse-engineered, is that the phrase? But obviously created energy in a form that's finite and he can charge us for and use us as oppressive rather than freeing. I'm not getting into the evil God, Old Testament, good God, New Testament nonsense now, Orn. Don't bring that stuff up in this chat today. My Bible study group on Telegram deals with it enough. I am not going near that. No way. Not right now, you know. I'm not taking the bait. Not happening. Nah. People communicated spiritually and Satan try to use the internet to mimic that. He wants to be God, so of course he would do that. That's a good way. That's a good way of saying it. Yeah, I appreciate that. The internet does seem like a way of reestablishing a spiritual concept. How do two people who aren't with each other talk to each other? You know, it's that type of thing. How does a man communicate his thoughts to thousands of people without them having to be near them? And it's kind of, that's a spiritual idea, isn't it? It's a spiritual concept. It's like telepathy or something. But we have managed to do it through ones and zeros, programming through ethereal signals we can't perceive in the air and through wires and electrical impulses. And we've managed to translate that electricity into form, which can communicate messages. You think about that. Like, what the hell is that? Like, sure, I can explain it, but does it make sense? Like, not really, no. Like, we just trust that it makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I can see how sending electrical signals through wire over thousands of miles can make a picture turn up on the other side that communicates messages I'm speaking over here in a different country. Yeah, of course that makes sense. Like, what? I think we have a lot of faith in this, don't we? That we it's just easier to accept it than to try and understand how that works. And then when you start understanding, like, spiritual stuff, it can start to make sense of how just psychedelically weird existence is. On many, many levels. Signals we can't see are influencing us in ways we just do not understand in this world today, in a little season. And it does very much feel like an attempt of being an omniscient God, doesn't it? On behalf of Satan. So sorry, just honest question. I'll join Telegram to find out more. Didn't know there was a study there. Thank you. It's okay, Orn. I understand a lot of people are thinking about that question recently. I stand firmly on the hill that the God of the Old Testament is the Father of Jesus. It's not. There's not two gods or anything. It's the same. It's the same God. And just because we don't understand God's actions from our modern perspective of morality, and what it took back then to maintain his people in order to bring the Savior into the world, doesn't mean we can't judge God's actions based on our morality or from our limited perspectives. It's I think it's pinnacle of hubris and pride to judge God's actions. Okay, I really think that's my take on it. That's what I take on it. Okay, and just because we can't understand it from our perspective and based on our own morality, the actions that the Old Testament God performed on people and his people and judgments and so forth by today's standards, doesn't mean that he was evil or wrong for doing what he did. Like, things work in ways we just cannot understand or comprehend from his perspective. And it may be wrong for a human to murder another human, but for God to take a life he created to begin with, is that inherently evil when you think about it? I don't know. I don't think so. I think, again, it gets weird when you really start to actually think about it outside of human understanding. So that's my quick take there. Many people disagree with me vehemently and are arguing about it viciously with each other in my Bible study group on Telegram. I wish they would stop, but, you know, who am I to stifle free speech, you know? And I can't put any more people on the noise step or in timeout anymore. I don't have time for that. I do not have time. I'm sorry. I do not have time to babysit fully grown Christians arguing about whether God was good or bad. Like, come on. Like, I thought we were past all of that. There we go. So any more questions? I'm not talking about the Talmud now. Absolutely not. Sorry, Elijah. Like, no. Any easy questions that I can answer in like 5 minutes or something like that? Margaret, you were great last night on Jamie's show. Excellent testimony. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I will be releasing the show I did with Jamie Hanshaw on my channel probably on Friday. I've already got it uploaded, ready to go. I'm just letting her release hers on her channel first, let it do its thing, and then I'll release it on mine few days later. It's currently available on Patreon if you want to go watch it, but you can get it now publicly straight on her channel now. She's uploaded onto her channel as well, Jamie Hanshaw. Yeah, nice talk. It was good. It's covering all the Nephilim clown stuff, but it's a bit more fun, a bit more lighthearted, a bit more introductory. Went through a slideshow of pictures I've got showing all these cultures and just kind of blowing your mind as we go through it. And it was good. It was good fun. So go and check that one out. Yeah, but I will release that on Friday, and I think on Sunday I've got another talk. Who am I with? I don't even know my own calendar anymore. I'm losing track. This Sunday I'm actually free. All right, there you go. So I'll do a Truth of Therapy session on Sunday, and I'll just connect with you guys. Maybe I'll get a bit of a presentation together about some things I've been thinking about. Perhaps maybe I'll get a special guest to come and join me, a surprise guest. I'll reach out to my. But it's not a little black book. What would you call it? All the conspiracy theorists I've got to know over the years. I say it's not a little black book. I do have like a black book I could use here. A list of names. I don't know. But I'll get out my little codex. Is that what it is? Is that one of those things where you can flip around? I'll get all my codex out and see whose business card I've got in there, and I'll get a special guest on for Sunday, shall I? Something like that. Can't wait, says Margaret. Excellent. I think it's satanic, but I'll leave it at that. So yeah. Do you think Martin Luther, again, that's a loaded question, isn't it, for half 12 at midnight? I'm not answering that. I've tried helping some friends of mine, but the usual response seems to be defensive since they're into conspiracy theories, but more casually. How can one enlighten one without making them insecure? A conspictionary, says music. I'll get my conspictionary out. I'm going to do, that's a good one. I'll make one of those. It's the Tinfoil textbook, says Wendy. That's a good one as well. It's weird how people treat chat like a free-for-all. I believe Satan added 700 something years to the calendar. We're all chewing the cud. The 13th, yeah, okay. how can one enlighten one without making them insecure? Well, you always have to remember that truth is a weapon. Okay. People don't like truth being brandished in their face. They'll get defensive about it. It's like waving a loaded gun in somebody's face. You've got to be careful about how you handle the truth. It's delicate, you know? It's volatile. It's paradigm shifting. It rips people's foundations away. It completely changes their reality once you shoot people with truth. You know, they'll never walk the same again, shall we say. It's kind of, you gotta be careful. I would say if you know when people are ready, don't force it on those who just are just not ready. You can drip feed information here and there. You can make a passing comment on something every now and then. But when they give you that immediate pushback, just don't press it any further. Say, okay, that's fair enough. If you can present yourself as somebody who has an alternative view on world events to them, and they can know that you're that type of person who thinks about those type of things, eventually they'll start to notice some stuff because you planted the seeds themselves. And then they'll probably eventually come to you as the authority, as the person they know who thinks about that kind of thing. And they'll ask you, so what was this stuff really about then? What do you think that was really going on there? Then say, oh, do you really want to know what I think? If they go, yeah, then there you go, you're in. You've got the consent. It's all about consent, guys. you don't want to go around raping people with the truth, do you? I don't. It's late. I shouldn't even be talking anymore. You get what I'm saying. You know, don't force things onto people that if they don't want it, you'll only push them away and they won't learn anything and they'll become even more closed off. So be a beacon of light, but let them come to you. Don't shine it in their eyes and make them go, ugh. You've got to just be a warm glow, be a candle in the darkness, you know. And when they want to see some more, they'll come to you for some to light their candle. You know what I mean? I don't know. So, how many more metaphors and similes can I come up with to try and explain to you about patience and long suffering? You know, it's basically what we're built for, isn't it? As Christians, you've just got to roll with it. Don't expect too much from people. You got to also empathize. You got to remember what it was like before you knew all these things. It's easy to forget, you know, that we all come from humble beginnings. We all come from a place of ignorance. And we all have our own ways of coping with trauma, because that's what it is. It's traumatic to learn a lot of this stuff. We all have to go through the 5 stages. How long that takes for each individual is different. So it's just remember that. But the fundamental thing you always have to remember is the truth is a weapon. Don't go around waving swords and guns in people's faces loaded with truth. don't do that. They will not be as appreciative as you think they will be. And heaven forbid they go into defense mode and pull out their weapon. You know what I mean? So you got to be careful. You got to be, and I'm not meaning all this to sound like a weird sexual innuendo either. I'm sorry if it's coming off like that. It's because I'm British. I think things just sound like that when I start speaking. It's not intentional. So on that note, I'm going to leave it there, guys. Thanks for listening. Make sure to go get your copy of the Nephilim. Oh, this side. The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. I've got it displayed on the wall now. There it is. You know, the office is coming together. Go to Amazon, get your copy. Make sure to check out the playlist on the channel if you haven't already. All the information's there for free with pictures. You don't have to buy the book if you want to know what I'm talking about. I'll be back on Sunday with the Truth Therapy session. I'll be releasing my recent podcast visit with Jamie Hanshaw on Friday. PJ's visit today will be released maybe in a couple of weeks. Lots to come, lots of things happening. It was great talking with you guys as always. And God bless. At first, I just thought people couldn't financially justify hiring a clown anymore, you know? Then I started blaming the media for portraying my people as bloodthirsty murderers, cult members, or man-eating space aliens. Of course, the 2016 clown sightings didn't help. Ronald was the first to go. They just took him away. And we stayed silent. Because that's when the book appeared. What new form of clown bigotry was this, I thought? Hadn't my people suffered enough? My clown act was failing because people just weren't taking it seriously. And once they fired me from the circus, I tried suing them for funfair dismissal. My unicycle rusted, and my balls gathered dust. I used to make kids scream with laughter, you know. So much that I could see the tears of joy running down their faces. And then it just stopped. I was so upset that I started eating the banana cream pies instead of throwing them in people's faces. I gained so much weight that summer. I avoided it for a while, but the book's front cover was just so eye-catching and it was so readily available on Amazon that I gave in and finally read the thing. I didn't even know what the Nephilim were. Luckily, the author spent the first half of the book concisely explaining the biblical history to me in an easy-to-understand manner. So that wasn't really a problem for long. That's when I read the rest of the book and realized that being a clown is no joke.